Welcome to the Terrorist Therapist Show on Renegade Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Carol. Though you may not realize that the ongoing threat of terrorism is affecting your life and that of your loved ones. Each week, Dr. Carol analyzes the hottest topics in terror and helps you and your family reach your dreams despite living in a time of terror.
War on Terror 2.0. Welcome to the Terrorist Therapist Show. I'm Dr. Carol, a psychiatrist, and you're a terrorist therapist. Well, today we're going to be talking about what has been happening since America surrendered to the Taliban. Now what? We're going to be looking at what's happening in Afghanistan and what's happening in America and where we are going. And spoiler alert, it is not looking good, at least not for the West. All right, let me start with telling you something that happened on 9/11. I just want to go briefly to 9/11, a recap, and tell you about something that I did for 9/11. It was the 20th anniversary, as we all know. And as the terrorist therapist, I wanted to do something really important for that day. And what I did was I created a music video, not the kind you dance to, but the kind that highlights some of the most important things that I want people to know about terrorism, in particular in relation to 9/11. And so I had this 15-minute music video that I created. I put pictures and music and some television clips from interviews I've done and so on. And I put it on what's called a mobile billboard, basically a truck that went around Ground Zero, circled around Ground Zero on September 10th and 11th, as close as it was able to get, you know, other than the closed streets, from 8 in the morning until 4 in the afternoon. So needless to say, a ton of people watched it. And one of the things, I mean, of course, I wanted people to get the messages. And the main message was the first part of it had to do with five reasons why we should never forget 9/11. You know, never forget 9/11. Is on bumper stickers and t-shirts and all kinds of things, but it's more than a bumper sticker. There are reasons, important reasons, why we should never forget 9/11. Of course, the main reason, there are five main reasons. The first reason that one thinks of course, is to honor the people who died and their families. And then also to honor the people who sacrificed themselves, such as the first responders and the military. Third reason is to teach people about terrorism and about heroes. Next, resilience, to build resilience because of the fact that 9/11 is not the last of the terror attacks on America. I mean, significant terror attacks. I mean, there have been obviously the Boston Marathon and the Orlando nightclub and so on. There have been terror attacks on America since 9/11. But I mean, people think that 9/11 could never happen again, and that is denial. There may not be an exact replica of 9/11, but certainly we are going to see more terror attacks than before. And last but not least, those who forget history are doomed to repeat it. And that went over a picture of the Taliban having their first press conference. That kind of hit home with that. And then I also had symptoms that people may well have been suffering or are still suffering from 9/11. There are still effects from 9/11, as I have mentioned several times in these podcasts, and it bears mentioning again. Then 10 ways to build resilience in kids. And then, you know, patriotic songs and it ended with a 1950s picture of kids pledging allegiance in a classroom and with America the Beautiful playing. So, but there were all other, you know, there's God Bless America, God Bless the USA was featured prominently in it, and so on. So I would direct you, it really is worth seeing. And you can see it by going to terroristtherapist.com, my website, and at the top of the homepage, that's the video. You can click on the video and watch it yourself. The thing that you know, what I had wanted to do for all of this was to bring these things home, you know, these highlights home to people. And partly because I am mad as hell and not going to take it anymore, just like in the movie Network, where mad as hell that people year after year, the commemoration of 9/11 has been less and less. And so this was my way of explaining and trying to get across why we must never forget, really, not just by a bumper sticker. So, so I wanted people to watch it. I was in touch with the driver of the truck, and he told me about people standing there and watching the whole thing, and especially first responders taking their picture with selfies or having their picture taken in front of the truck along with other people. But what touched me the most about this whole thing was there are some incredible pictures of first responders. Like one in particular of a first responder bowing his head and touching his cap right in front of one of the pictures on the truck. So you can find that at my on my Twitter page, which is at Dr. Carol MD. I'm also going to have to put them these new pictures on terroristtherapist.com as well. Okay, one other thing to mention about 9/11, and then we can move on. Is there has been a lot of, you know, unfortunate history changing, and particularly notable was the Virginia Department of Education and a particular school board. The Virginia Department of Education provided a video for teachers to advise teachers how to teach about 9/11. And telling them not to call the people who attacked us terrorists, because that would be Islamophobic. Well, you know, if the people who attacked us, in case anyone has any additional questions, they were radical Islamists. They were Al-Qaeda. They were led by Osama bin Laden. That is the real history. Now, some people may not like that, but that is the truth. So more recently, after that happened, a Fairfax County school board was voting before 9/11 to have a moment of silence for 9/11 to honor the victims for the 20th anniversary and the first responders. And there was one person on the board who vocally, loudly objected to this. And her name is Abrar Omish. And she has done similar kinds of things, been the lone voice of talking about how, you know, Islamophobia and something. Now, you know, if you've listened to previous podcasts, you know that I am certainly against Islamophobia. My book, Lions and Tigers and Terrorists, that about teaching children about terrorism, certainly talks about Islamophobia. But telling the truth about history is not Islamophobic. It is telling the truth. Now, this same woman is the one who did something else pretty outrageous. She encouraged high schoolers at their graduation to remember jihad. She was speaking at the graduation, and at the graduation, the commencement. And she told the students that they were entering a world of, quote, racism, extreme versions of individualism and capitalism and white supremacy. And she said, in English, she said, that the world sees the accolade, the diploma, the fruit of all your years, yet be reminded of the detail of your struggle. But when she repeated the speech in Arabic, it was different. she told the students to remember their jihad. Now, that is a word that means struggle, but it also specifically means holy war waged on behalf of Islam. So basically, she was encouraging the students to wage jihad, you know, be graduated and wage jihad. I mean, these are the kinds of sensitive things that we have, subtleties that we really have to be concerned about. Anyhow, fortunately, the other members of the board voted her down, and they did have a moment of silence for 9/11. Now, according to the New York Times, 64,000 Afghans, evacuees from Afghanistan, have arrived in the United States as of September 14th. Now, you know, of course, there really isn't, I mean, this is a general figure, but it is still a lot of people. And about 49,000 of them are residing on 8 domestic military bases throughout the country. 18,000 are on bases overseas. We are told that they are all awaiting formal placement in the U.S. as they submit to screenings by various federal agencies to look for security and health. But, you know, that is the party line. And really, there already have been Afghans who have been sent to various places all over the United States with none to little, no to little screening. And both in terms of security and in terms of health, you know, not, you can imagine that not many Afghans have received vaccinations for COVID. Not that I am endorsing that, but I'm just saying. And so it's just like, you know, across the border from the South, people who let me just say it this way, people who are COVID positive are coming into the United States without any real screening and even when they are found to be positive, nothing is being done about it. So this is a dangerous situation, not to mention, you know, the danger of terror attacks, because some of these people have already been found on terrorist watch lists. Well, I will continue with this when we come back. I'll also talk about some of the other ways that our surrender to the Taliban is affecting us. So stay tuned. Welcome back to the Terrorist Therapist Show. I'm Dr. Carol, a psychiatrist and your terrorist therapist. We're talking today about War on Terror 2.0. We've surrendered to the Taliban. Now what? Well, when I left the last segment, I was telling you about the numbers. And again, really, you know, the chaos that was happening at the airport in Afghanistan as people were rushing to get on planes and so on. And even as people deplaned in various places, these are just approximate numbers. So there's, needless to say, there's a lot of controversy in Congress. Of course, some of these things are still happening regardless of the controversy, like the surrender to the Taliban. But in terms of the Afghans who are here in America, there are various points of view. Some people have said, and this is actually true, there's the idea that we should try and settle these individuals in other countries around Afghanistan that share their values and culture, especially if we can't ensure proper vetting. That's what one congressman said. I mean, you know, of course, in general, people want to come to America, but you know, it is really true that, and you know, there has been one report, at least one report, of an Afghan refugee who was complaining about the food that he got. He was at a base in America, and he complained about getting only chicken and melon or something like that. and said that, you know, he's not going to be fed again for 12 hours. Well, I'm going to tell you in a little bit, and as you might well already have guessed or know, people in Afghanistan are having a lot more problems than they're not getting chicken and melon. I can tell you that they're having problems. They're starving, many of them, or certainly, you know, having very little foods, a lesser amount of food. In any case, another congressperson is saying we were lied to. These aren't translators or allies. These are just refugees. And who knows how they're being vetted. Then others are complaining that Biden will give Afghan refugees health insurance. Then someone else said these Afghan refugee women are going to give birth on American soil on military bases, and these children are going to become automatically Americans. Somebody else is saying Biden is treating illegal immigrant refugees better than American citizens. Someone else is saying allowing the evacuees to be eligible for green cards by this time next year. That's what he is planning to do, or they think he's planning to do. Now, you know, this is not an easy issue. I mean, this is a conundrum, because America does, first of all, some number, don't know the number, neither does anybody else, quite frankly, of the Afghans who have arrived in America, some number have been very helpful to Americans. And because Biden let the list or the State Department or some governmental, White House or some other governmental agency, sent a list to Afghanistan. I think it was the White House, sent a list to Afghanistan naming the people who had helped America. So what did the Taliban do? They went door to door looking for these people. I mean, you know, duh. you just have to wonder who is running the country. I mean, the stupidest mistakes have been happening, so stupid that you have to ask yourself, are these stupid mistakes, or is there really a plan afoot? A plan that hurts America, because that is what is going to be happening. So the people who helped America as interpreters and in other ways, they would have been, or are, many of them are still in Afghanistan, and they are at grave risk. They are being sought after and killed and executed by the Taliban. So to some degree, you know, we have a responsibility to take care of these people or to get them out of the country. You know, this is going to cost Americans who are here already, regular citizens, a lot of money. And more significantly, there is, because they cannot be properly vetted, there are too many of them to be properly vetted. And because it has already been found that a significant number have been on terrorist watch lists, we are in more danger from terrorist attacks than ever before. I mean, we talk about lone wolves, like Americans, disgruntled Americans following being persuaded by Al-Qaeda or ISIS, or, you know, any kinds of propaganda to perpetrate attacks. You know, that has been happening and will happen in the future. But now we are actually amongst the good guys, amongst the good Afghans. There are people who certainly snuck in, not hard to do. If you remember the scenes at the airport, not hard to do. They snuck in along with the good guys for the purpose, of course, of, for one thing, they might well have wanted to get out of Afghanistan, just, you know, because that is not Club Med, despite what the Taliban would like you to think in their press conference. But besides that, they had evil intentions. Okay, now, believe it or not, there is a Congress, you believe it or not, that this has to be suggested by a congressman. One would have thought this was already the case. But at least fortunately, there is a congressman, Rubio, to be exact, who has proposed in Congress that the Biden administration designate the Taliban as a foreign terrorist organization and its new government as a state sponsor of terrorism. Well, duh, one would have thought that that would have happened already, but apparently not. So he introduced legislation that would prohibit, in addition, that would prohibit federal departments and agencies from taking any action that states or implies recognition of the Taliban's claim of sovereignty over Afghanistan. Well, like, that's another no-brainer. He also suggested that that there's an annual report from the State Department about which countries have diplomatic relations with the Taliban and whether any foreign persons knowingly provide assistance to the Taliban. I mean, all of these things one would have assumed had already been in place. He also called for in his bill, in his legislation, he also called for a requirement that US aid would ensure that any humanitarian assistance in Afghanistan or any other state in which foreign terrorist organizations hold territory or wield substantial power doesn't go to those terrorists. Well, you know, that's good, important. One would have assumed that there would have already been legislation for that, but it's also a little naive. So now the Biden administration has described its dialogue with the Taliban as cooperative, quote unquote, businesslike and professional, as it's been trying to have a diplomatic mission to evacuate remaining Americans. Well, you know, there have been so many different stories about what Biden is doing or isn't doing in regard to trying to get all Americans out. I mean, at the very beginning, he said he was, oh, yes, I'm going to get all Americans out. Then later on, he backpedaled and he said, well, you know, we might not be able to get all of them out. And so you cannot believe what, you know, the idea that estimates are that we have at least 1,000 Americans left in Afghanistan who want to come home. At least 1,000. So they are not all home, and Biden is expecting cooperation from the Taliban. So he also said that he's in no rush to recognize the Taliban as the legitimate government of Afghanistan, theoretically, you know, until we get the our Americans home. But really, it's not just a ploy to say, oh yeah, you know, that he won't recognize them until we all Americans are home. They're also, as I'm going to tell you in a little bit, we have been already giving millions of dollars to Afghanistan after our surrender. And he's saying that recognition is going to be dependent upon what the Taliban does, whether they allow the Americans to leave, how they treat women and girls. We'll see. Then we have a White House National Security Advisor, Jake Sullivan, who earlier in September said that humanitarian assistance is an, quote, important dimension, unquote, that should go, quote, directly to the people of Afghanistan, quote, we do go through non-governmental organizations who are still operating on the ground in Afghanistan. It will not flow through the Taliban. I mean, like, excuse me, do they not yet know how things work in Afghanistan? We've been there for 20 years. Do you really think that money that goes even to these NGOs, these non-governmental organizations, are not going to end up in the hands of the Taliban? How naive is that? That's the same thing as whether, you know, these mistakes are so ridiculous, are they not on purpose? Same thing with that, with the money. When we come back, I will tell you about this picture that I saw this morning, and I will tell you where you too can see it, but it is such a stunning and incongruous photograph of the Taliban that you don't know whether to laugh or to be horrified. And I will give you reasons as to why you might want to do one or the other. So stay tuned. Welcome back to the Terrorist Therapist Show, where we're talking about War on Terror 2.0. We've surrendered to the Taliban. Now what? Well, I promised you to tell you about this picture. Stunning, incongruous. You can decide whether you want to, it makes you kind of both want to laugh and be horrified. There is a picture, a couple of photographs in the Daily Mail. I love the Daily Mail because, you know, it's a little less free of the political divisiveness that there is in America. In other words, this is a UK paper, and they go into things in depth, stories in depth, which I like. And they are, you know, they talk about things that have to do with political parties in America, but they, you know, they identify which party and so on, and they're not necessarily on one side or the other. So that's why I like to, I read it every day. In any case, today, much to my wondering eyes might appear, there was a pictures of the Taliban on a lake in Afghanistan in paddle boats, brightly colored paddle boats, the kind you might see at a lake resort that you could rent. These were boats of swans, in the shape of swans. And here are these big, you know, big with their, especially with their coats and their weapons and everything else, these big Taliban fighters stuck, squished into these swans on a lake, lying back in their chairs, pedaling these swans, relaxing as if they were on vacation in some lakeside resort. Now, you know, in a way, it's ridiculous. I mean, so you kind of want to laugh because it's so incongruous. These men in their military gear and so on, stuffed into these paddle boats. But on the other hand, you think about the men who joined the military after 9/11 to protect America, who gave their lives, who gave their limbs, who gave their psychological well-being to fight for America, for your freedom, if you're listening from America, for all the West's freedom. I know there are people, you know, it's amazing the number of countries who listen to this terrorist therapist. I thank you all for listening. Not only are there people from America and various Western countries, but also there are countries that are listening, people who are listening in Russia and Saudi Arabia and so on, all over the world, basically. And I really appreciate your listening. I hope you continue to find it interesting. And there has been an increase in the number of listeners, by the way, through 9/11. I mean, I think because people are realizing that that this is a more, you know, that everybody, every country has to pay attention to terrorism now, you know, before, and especially Americans. Americans were the worst at this. We are great at denial. And Americans have been wanting since 9/11 more and more to try to pretend that we don't have to worry. What's terrorism? We don't have to worry about terrorism. That's not going to happen again. So now more people are realizing that we do need to understand terrorism. We need to think about this. We need to talk about these issues. We need to look at these things. You know, I try to talk about these things. I try to be as apolitical as possible. Sometimes it's kind of impossible because it's Biden who made this the worst mistake that America has ever made in terms of foreign countries, foreign, what we do on foreign soil. And so, I mean, I'm sorry, that's who did it. That's who the president is. So I have to call it like I see it, but I do try to not make this political other than to tell the truth about things. In any case, I tweeted this picture, this article this morning, and I said, once America's away, the Taliban will play. Taliban enjoy their pleasure island with not a care in the world, while America is at greater risk from terrorists than ever. We can always hope the Taliban turn into donkeys like bad boys in Pinocchio. I'm sorry, let me read that again, because my point is I am comparing Pleasure Island. I'm saying that the Taliban are like on a pleasure island. And you remember in the story of Pinocchio, there's a pleasure island where bad boys, you know, where Pinocchio went, he was sort of led in onto Pleasure Island. And it's all kinds of things that boys aren't supposed to get into, all kinds of like sinful pleasures. And so they start turning into donkeys. Their ears start growing into donkey ears and so on. So let me just read this again. Once America's away, the Taliban will play. The Taliban enjoy their pleasure island with not a care in the world, while America is at greater risk from terrorism than ever. We can always hope Taliban turn into donkeys like bad boys in Pinocchio, so they can't hurt us. In other words, we are more at risk from terrorists. But we can always hope, you know, that they enjoy their pleasure island and forget about attacking America, which is, yes, wishful thinking. In any case, you need to go see this. It's you can either go to the Daily Mail or you can go to my Twitter page. And the article is entitled Armed Taliban Fighters Ride Pedalos, you know, pedal boats on the lake in Afghanistan National Park. I mean, it's just, they've also been setting up, this is another little intriguing factoid, the Taliban new rulers have been setting up a ministry for the propagation of virtue and prevention of vice, the propagation of virtue and prevention of vice, a ministry. Now, what does that make you think of? In 1984, there were ministries of truth, peace, etc. You know, George Orwell's 1984. And in Harry Potter, there was the Ministry of Magic. So I don't know if the Taliban thought up this on themselves, whether they read Harry Potter or 1984. But in any case, we have their ministry in the building that once housed the Women's Affairs Ministry. Now, just as a little side note, you know, I hope you watched the press conference, the first press conference of the Taliban, where they they acted like they were teddy bears and that like Afghanistan was going to be a Club Med resort, you know, come to Club Med in Afghanistan. And there was the first reporter that they called upon was a woman, and she asked a question about how women were going to be treated and so on. And, you know, just like in 1984, they talked in newspeak. In other words, they hid their real intentions with language. And so they said, yes, women, oh, we're going to treat women well. They're going to be treated according to Sharia law, or according to the traditional Islamic law, or something like that. And, but the way that they said it much better than I just did. And the way that they said it, it was to give the impression, and I think it was successful for some people, to give the impression that they were going to treat women well, unlike how the Taliban had treated women in the past. But if you look at Sharia law, if you know Sharia law, you know that women are treated very badly under Sharia law. And so really he was saying to this woman journalist, oh yeah, we're going to treat women well, just like Sharia law, you know, just like they are, we're told to do in Sharia law or in Islamic tradition or something. And so what he was really saying was that women were going to be treated really badly, like they were before, but it was not picked up. I mean, obviously some people picked up on that, but, you know, for the most part, the media did not pick up on it. And this woman, I don't know what media outlet she worked for. I don't know how she reported that, but it was reported some people took it seriously, took it at face value. But in fact, so far what they're doing, you know, a lot of women have been treated very badly, violently attacked. And also, now they are preventing most female city workers from returning to their jobs. And they are enforcing the harsh interpretation of Islam, which, you know, is Sharia law and is treats women badly. And they are excluding girls from returning to secondary school. Already they're doing this. So much for, we're going to treat women well. Now, let me tell you about the money that has been flowing into Afghanistan since we surrendered to the Taliban. And similar to the Afghan in America who I was describing, who was not happy with his chicken and melon, or whatever the fruit was, the Taliban is pretty greedy too. They have thanked the world for pledging more than $1 billion in emergency aid to Afghanistan, more than $1 billion. Do you know there are people in America and in other countries? I don't want to just, you know, there are people in the West, there are people in various countries who do not have such harsh rules, do not execute people, for example, and are not out to take over the West. There are people in other countries who are going hungry and who need aid. And certainly there are the homeless in America, the problem of the homeless in America is worse than ever. And we're giving $64 million. The United States has so far pledged $64 million to Afghanistan. And in general, they have gotten, or they've gotten pledges for more than $1 billion. Well, don't you think imagine that would take care of all the homeless in America. Even the 64 million would take care of the homeless in America. At least, you know, to a large degree, maybe not all of them completely, but it would make a significant dent. So the Taliban has thanked the world for pledging more than $1 billion in emergency aid, and they urged the U.S. to show heart by donating more. Okay, that 64 million isn't enough. The acting foreign minister of the Taliban told a press conference that the Taliban would spend donor money wisely and use it to alleviate poverty. Now, if you believe that, I have a bridge in Brooklyn that I would like to sell you. He also said, quote, the Islamic Emirate will try its best to deliver this aid to the need. Try its best, you see. They have things incorporated also. We tried. We couldn't quite do it, but we tried. Try its best to deliver this aid to the needy people in a completely transparent manner. And he said this a day after the United Nations said a total of $1.2 billion in aid had been pledged to Afghanistan, which includes the US's 64 million. He also, the Taliban now, the spokesperson, also asked Washington to show appreciation for the Taliban by allowing the US to complete a troop withdrawal and evacuation of more than 120,000 people. Now, you know, again, the numbers, you know, the numbers are all questionable, but in any case, so they're asking for more money from the US, and they're saying that one reason why we should give them more money is because they were very nice, because they let us take out our troops and evacuate a lot of people. And he said that they already received aid from countries including Pakistan and Qatar and Uzbekistan. And then he talked about China has promised $31 million worth of food and health supplies. Now, if they are going to be sending the food and health supplies, actually bringing tangible items to Afghanistan instead of just sending money, that would be a good way of donating money, if one donates money, rather than just sending actual dollars or, you know, whatever one's currency is, because, you know, that means that not to say that the Taliban can't abscond with food and health supplies, but there's food lasts only a limited amount of time. China is also sending the first batch of 3 million coronavirus vaccines. Pakistan sent food and medicine also. And Iran sent an air cargo of aid, whatever, probably also of tangible items, not an air cargo of money, one would hope. Then China and Russia are saying that the Western countries should bear the burden of helping Afghanistan more. Norway pledged 11.5 million. The UN chief said he believed aid could be used as leverage with the Taliban to get improvements, to make them make improvements on human rights, where there's this fear that there's going to be a return to the brutal rule of the Taliban from beginning, from that occurred between 1996 to 2001. Well, again, naivete, this is the UN chief who is, you know, believing that we can believe the promises of the Taliban, who have promised a milder form of rule. But we have seen what they have done so far already. They've been perpetrating violence, going from house to house, firing in the air to disperse protests by women recently about education and work, like what I was just talking about, how they're not allowed to go to school and to work in some jobs. And the cabinet, of course, includes no women. Now there is definitely a crisis situation in Afghanistan. The people, you know, other than the Taliban, I mean, there are people there who are not Taliban and not other kinds of, not ISIS, not Al Qaeda, who are starving. And the United States does have some responsibility to provide aid to them, to make sure that they get something to eat and so on, because it was our withdrawal that caused this problem, that caused things, the circumstances there to be as dire as they have turned out to be. And of course, as we have already seen, the Taliban has not been keeping any promises of being teddy bears. This is not Club Med. Do not buy a ticket. There are already people going to Afghanistan, however, to join the Taliban, to join ISIS, to join Al Qaeda. You know, that started as America was pulling out, and as they did their first press conference, that did influence a lot of people to come there. So what's the bottom line? The war on terror 2.0, it's uncharted territory. And I will be keeping you aware of the latest news and how to interpret it, or my impression of how to interpret it. I interpret these things psychologically. And let me remind you again to go to terroristtherapist.com if you would like to see the 15-minute music video that I created for the 20th anniversary of 9/11. Thank you for listening. You've been listening to the Terrorist Therapist Show, and I'm Dr. Carol, your terrorist therapist.
If you would like to find out more about terrorism from me, your terrorist therapist, visit my website, terroristtherapist.com. And if you're a parent or teacher and want to build stronger nests for your kids to become more resilient, check out my new award-winning book, Lions and Tigers and Terrorists, Oh My, How to Protect Your Child in a Time of Terror. It's the first and only book about terrorism for kids. You can find it wherever books are sold or directly from the publisher at terrorismforkids.com. Terrorism4kids.com. I'm Dr. Carol, your terrorist therapist.
Thank you for listening to the Terrorist Therapist Show on Renegade Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Carol. We hope listening to the show has made you feel calmer, more resilient, and more able to reach your dreams despite living in a time of terror. You can also check out past shows on Renegade Talk Archives for more insights.